on March 8th, you will be asked to vote in two referendums to change our constitution. There are two separate votes on whether you wish to make the proposed changes to the current text of Article 41 of the Constitution. Both votes will ask your consideration on pretty tough, complex areas and to do with family and care in the home. Well, with me on the line to talk about this in more detail and outline the role of the Electoral Commission as well as the sort of questions we're being asked to adjudicate on as members of this state is the Chair of the Electoral Commission, Supreme Court Judge, Ms. Justice Marie Baker. Good morning to you and thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Good morning, Jerry. I'm always very happy to be in Kerry.
You are indeed. You're half Kerry, I understand.
I'm a Kerry woman, you know, so that's it's always a nice thing.
Indeed. Now, I know you're busy at the moment. These are the referendums on family and care. Can you outline for us the proposed changes to both, please?
I can. I'll tell you what's there first. There are two proposed amendments. Both of them concern the fundamental rights part of the Constitution and both in turn concern the family part of the Constitution. But they're very different proposals. And as you correctly say, they are pretty complex. The first one concerns the definition of the family in the Constitution. The family is given a special central place in our Constitution and it's regarded as a primary and fundamental unit group of society. Marriage is also given an important role in the Constitution and an important role in society. It's not proposed to change marriage, but what is proposed is to change the way in which we identify or understand the family. At the moment, the family understood in constitutional terms is the family based on marriage. And that's undoubtedly the case. And what is proposed is that the family definition would be broadened to include not just family units based on marriage, but family units based on other durable relationships. It's not proposed to change the fact that in the Constitution marriage is given a special place. But because you would remove, if there's a yes vote, you'd be adding an element of durable of the definition of marriage to include durable relationships. You have to take a phrase out of 41.3.1, which says that the state pledges to guard with special care the institution of marriage on which the family is founded. It's that part that would have to go if the family definition was broadened. So, as you said, pretty complex.
Yeah, so you're deleting on which the family is founded, but you're adding in durable relationships to the protections given, or the broad protections given to family being recognised by the state
exactly.
as a unit of
you're
society.
You're not changing what marriage means, but you are, the proposal is to change what the family means.
Okay, so that's the change on the family.
In that simple term.
Sure, that's the change in the family amendment. The care amendment. And this is one which is, there's been a bit of, well, I suppose, a bit of debate and, you know, in the cut and thrust of either side advocating for yes or no, there's been a lot of talk about this is the women's place in the home. Not exactly that.
No, that's well put. It's not exactly that. The Constitution doesn't say a woman's place is in the home, but what it does say is that the work that women do in the home is very important to society and very important for the common good. And what it's proposed is to delete that recognition of the work and importance of the work done by women in the home and replace it with a provision that recognises the importance of the provision of care by members of a family generally to one another, not just women. And that provision of care is important to society and a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. Now, it's never simple, of course, because the second part of the proposal, the care proposal, is to delete the part of the Constitution that says that the state would endeavour to ensure that women wouldn't have to go out to work to the neglect of their duties in the home, and that's the expression. And it's proposed that that will be deleted, and what will be added instead was that the state would strive to support the provision of care among family members for one another. So it would, you take two whole paragraphs out and replace it with one.
And the striving is for care done by members of either sex. not just women.
Within the family. Within their family. By reason, it says, of the bonds that exist between them. So it's family care for family members, not friends, not outsiders, but family members.
Okay. Can one of the issues with regards to changing the referendum and, or changing the constitution by referendum at any stage is, and it's an issue which is again part of the cut and thrust of the debate which we've been having on this programme and will continue to have in advance of March the 8th, is the, we understand the legal effects of the language that would be changed, but because of changes, does that mean, it doesn't mean that your constitution, it's a broad set of rights and values. It's not the same as changing a law. Is that important to know?
It's not, and it's important to know that because it's a statement of high principles and high values. But it's not just a neutral thing. It informs legislation, so legislation must comply with it. Legislation must keep up the standards for which the Constitution provides, and legislation is tested in the court if it doesn't. So you hear occasionally of a court saying a particular piece of legislation was unconstitutional because it failed to properly reflect constitutional values, or it was under-inclusive. It didn't include somebody who should have been included as a result of what the Constitution says. So it's the most important foundational document, but in itself, it's so general, it doesn't actually immediately create a change in people's lives.
Yeah, and this guides what Oireachtas should be doing. It provides an avenue for people to take challenges if they're not happy with laws that are passed. But it is not, there won't be a change the following morning to the way our system works as a result of
this. There will be one change the following morning, which is that the constitutional values will be different. Now, when we passed the marriage equality referendum, there was actually a change the following day. You could marry if you were a same-sex couple, but you still had to do it. You still had to go through all the regulations and all the various procedures that you have to do, like giving notice. So it doesn't immediately change anybody's life. The Oireachtas would have to look, the government of the day would have to look at legislation and say, here we have an amended constitution. Does our current law meet the requirements of those amendments?
Okay, we're getting questions in from our listeners, and one that has come up time and again is, can you explain what is a durable relationship?
I can do my best. Now, I need to say, first of all, I am a Supreme Court judge, but I'm not here as a judge. I'm here as chair of Uncommissioned Tá Chathain. So, second of all, our job is to give general information and explanation, but not
to argue in favour or against one side or another side.
I can tell you, if this passes, it will be a new constitutional word. But it's not a word unknown to lawyers. It appears in the Citizens' Rights Directive. It appears in European instruments. Words like it have been used in Irish case law concerning the cohabitation legislation. And it means something like a relationship that's committed, endurable, intended to be durable, intended to last. It connotes various subjective things like, is it your intention to live with somebody, or is that your modus operandi with that person? But it also includes how you present yourself in society, how you're looked at by people, whether you're treated as a couple, and that kind of thing. This is something I haven't said actually, but I thought it might explain it a little bit. The European Convention on Human Rights recognises de facto families, in other words, families in fact, which are not families in law. In other words, de facto, meaning people who live as if they were married, but in fact are not. And the European Convention on Human Rights recognises that. The Irish government did not propose to add that expression. It's Latin, after all. We're trying to move away from using Latin to an expression which is in English, but it's harder to understand, possibly for lawyers, the durable relationship. Yeah. So I can tell you, it's not unfamiliar. It does find a place. So if the courts come to look at it, the courts will say, well, this is the kind of thing it has meant over the years in European law, in Irish law, looking at cohabitation, etc.
Yeah, we're getting questions about durable relationships, like can someone have more than one, or what will this mean for inheritance matters?
I do want to answer that, actually.
Sure.
I do want to answer that. You've lots of friends in your life,
yeah.
And some people have maybe two lovers at the same time. But marriage is between two people in the Constitution. A cohabitation relationship is between two people in our law, and it's highly unlikely that people would recognise, that the government or the courts would recognise that you could have two durable relationships at the same time. Let me explain why. These are relationships of family units in society. Somebody you're having a quiet, secretive affair with is absolutely not somebody you are living in society with. It's not an open thing in society that you're presenting yourself as a durable relationship. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying it's highly unlikely.
Unlikely.
And
yeah.
More than unlikely in our current thinking that we'd recognise more than one at a time.
And indeed, with regards to issues to do with inheritance, is that another one that falls in the category of our laws take care of that, not
yes,
necessarily
our laws
the Constitution?
Take care of that. And in fact, you know, to a certain extent, there's extremely sophisticated law around succession. And a lot of that has recognised people's rights who aren't married to one another.
Yes.
If you're married, you have automatic succession rights. If you're cohabiting, you do not, but you do have a right to make a claim.
And that's the important. That's our legislators in the Oireachtas who've made those provisions under our laws.
Correct. And remember, recently the Supreme Court said, look, the Constitution and the courts are not the places for those finer details. The Succession Act is 100 pages long. It has to be done by statute and regulation. And the other thing about succession, and, you know, you hear people going on talking about probate sometimes on the radio, people should make a will and provide for whom they wish to make provision in their wills. And our law allows that to happen with some restrictions. You can't exclude your spouse.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't even
rights.
Now exclude your cohabiting partner, but that person doesn't get an automatic right. They get a right to go to court to make a claim.
Okay,
you can, oddly enough, exclude your children, but they can make a claim as well if you haven't
claim.
Made provision for them. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Okay, and the mechanics of all this, this is the first one for the Electoral Commission, is that right, since it's been set up?
It is the first one for the Electoral Commission. As you say, it was a pretty complex one to start us off. We're a year old now, and we did do the constituency boundary reviews last autumn, but this is our first time running an information campaign for a referendum. But we are a permanent body. You will know over the years we've had referendum commissions which were established and which gave this kind, did this kind of function. But we've gone out a lot. I think we've gone out to a lot of different places. I've done a lot of radio interviews. Our commission is, I think we might have done about 48 different events already. And we regard it as our obligation to inform across the board, to inform people who might feel marginalised, to inform young people, older people, people who we have a leaflet that's easy to read.
Yeah.
We think radio is really important. It is really important because people listen and people sit down and have a cup of tea and listen to what you're saying.
Yeah, very important. Now, the family amendment will be on a white ballot paper, the care amendment
right.
on a green ballot paper, just to differentiate the two. Can I ask just on that, there, and this is, I don't know the obvious answer, which is why I'm asking, the Electoral Commission, how much of your job will be involved either through this and the local and the next general election, local and Europeans that are coming, whatever next general election, is in relation to getting people to vote or encouraging
it's
people to vote? There are concerns about low turnouts and
yeah,
all of
I
that.
I hope not. I hope people will go out and say, this is what I want in my constitution. I don't mind what they say, but I do mind that the constitution reflects values that people want. Because it's our constitution. Each individual person has a right to say what it should mean. I see that as a big part of our role, because our fundamental role is to protect and enhance democracy, which means enhancing and protecting and encouraging engagement with democratic events. So engagement with elections. The next referendum will be held at the same time as the local and European elections. So I suppose turnout will be reasonably good then. But,
yeah.
you know, this matters. years. This is something that you can see in the on the waves here, on the waves, and see in the papers. This people are exercised about this. They should think about it. Read the leaflet because it gives you what's there and what's proposed. In you know, cold terms, this is what's there. Think about it and say, I have a right. Lots of people in the world don't have a right to decide what's in their constitution.
And we're seeing a weakening of democracy in several different jurisdictions and the effect that's having, the whole debate over misinformation and all of that. You don't have to look too far to see if you don't mind it, if you don't get involved in it, bad things can happen.
And, you know, like without wanting to sound emotional about it, it is your constitution. It is your rights, and everybody should know that. It's not your neighbour doesn't choose this for you. You choose it for yourself.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, well, listen, thanks so much for talking to us.
Delighted
Supreme
to
Court
talk
Judge
to you. Thank
Ms.
You
Justice
very much.
Marie Baker.
Thank you very much.
That's Ms. Justice Marie Baker, head of the Electoral Commission.